Welcome to another Friday episode here on Literary Scape. I am so excited for tomorrow because we will have another coffee and books event. Join authors Sarah Sundin, Jody Basie, and Karen Whitmire from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live Q&A. Enjoy a lively conversation with your favorite coffee. Sign up for this free event with the link in this blog post or by visiting literaryscape.com/events. Authors, do you want to build an author platform but are not sure where to start? The Historical Christian Romance Writers Mini Online Conference is here for you. Building, growing, and sustaining an author platform that serves your readers well starts with baby steps. Join us for 3 1-hour training sessions followed by 1-hour hands-on workshops with the experts. Walk away with the skills to plot and write your magnet reader, create images with Canva for your platform, and grow your email list with avid readers. There are only 10 seats for the hands-on workshop, so be sure to claim your spot today. And I am so excited to share that Crystal Cottle will be leading our magnet reader session. Misty M. Beller will be leading our Grow Your Email List session, and I will be leading the Canva session. You can learn more and register at literaryscape.com/events. Now let's dive into this week's book discussion. Welcome to the Literary Scape podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Scape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Joelle Daughtry has a secret. By day, the impoverished Southern Belle has been helping her sisters in their quest to turn the rundown family plantation into a resort hotel after the close of the Civil War. But by night, and under a male pseudonym, she has been penning articles for the local paper in support of constructing a school for former slaves. With the Mississippi arm of the Ku Klux Klan gaining power and prestige, Joelle knows she is playing a dangerous game. Loyalties shift when Skylar Beaumont, childhood enemy and current investor in the Daughtry House renovation, takes over his assassinated father's candidacy for state office. Joelle finds that in order to protect her family and her home, she and Skylar will have to put aside their long-standing personal conflict and develop a united public front. The trouble is, what do you do when animosity becomes respect and even love? If you're already engaged to someone else.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, it was a good one. I love it. First of all, did you enjoy the prologue at the beginning of that?
I did. Yes. Yeah, it made more sense because in the first book, you didn't know what happened between them other than something at the bathhouse. But
yeah,
now you got the whole story. So I thought it was super sweet.
I loved it. And the fact that basically it comes back around for him. So we won't get too much away there, but I really enjoyed it. In Joelle, she puts this reminder right at the beginning of how God tells us to treat others the way we want to be treated. And I think we need more of that today, don't you?
I agree. Yeah.
I feel like too often we're so, and I'm guilty of this when I say this, like we're so wrapped up in ourselves and what we have to get done and what's going on with us that we forget that there's others around us.
Yeah.
That just need to be showered in grace and love. And Joelle does a great job of doing that, even though she's a very direct person.
Yes.
I'm afraid to tell you what she's thinking, but she is very loving as well. And she does get, like the back says, she kind of gets herself in a predicament. a little bit with. So I have to admit, once this event happens, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and for the long stretch afterwards, I was really frustrated, like almost screaming at her, like, what are you doing? You should not be doing this. You should have never said yes. You know, like you should never have.
I agree.
Like, I'm like, no, you're compromising. We don't compromise.
Yeah. And I think she. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't understand why. What changed, but. I don't know.
Did it shock you?
Yeah.
When she said yes?
The whole scene shocked me. I was like, what? Okay.
When the scene started out, I was like, I'm really embarrassed for him. For Gil? I was really embarrassed for Gil. I was like, this is not going to go down well. And he's made this huge spectacle of himself and everything. And then she said, yes. And I was like, no! And then her grandmother basically said the same thing.
Yeah, I loved how her family said what needed to be said. She was just unwilling to accept it. But I loved that they were like, what? Like the same kind, like what we were all thinking as readers. Like, why would you settle? Or I think one of them said, you're too good for him or something like that.
Yeah. Her grandmother's like, I can't believe you would settle like that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. But her grandmother has known that her and Skylar should be together. They've been in love, but they won't admit it. So, and you see more and more of grandmother intervening without people really realizing that she's intervening. Mm. So what did you think about her in this book? Because remember for me personally, my opinion changed. I don't know about you. But I did not like Grandma in the first book. I liked her in the second.
Yeah, I did too. And I liked the surprise at the end, like where she and Skylar had worked that out.
Yes.
Without giving it away. Like
I know. Yeah.
She always liked Skylar, I feel like.
She did.
So.
She did, even when he was a party boy.
Yeah.
Which I loved. What did you think about him in this? Because, you know, we met him in the first one.
Yeah, we didn't like him in the first one.
I know, he just comes across.
He was like their, like, enemy, I felt like. Yeah. Not necessarily like a, yeah.
Yeah, I did. Possible love interest or someone you could really respect. Right, because
she, like, hated him, I felt like, in the first book. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you bring him into this deal and things like that?
But his change, like, he really is the party boy. That's what he's known for.
Mm-hmm.
And then he really grows up.
Yeah.
And changes. And it's a good thing, too. But and what did you think about that crazy court scene?
Yeah, I was not expecting that at all. I was like, oh, my gosh, what happened?
How in the world? Like, there's like we have order in the court. And then all of a sudden it's total terrible. Chaos.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get out without getting shot. And then. He can't find Levi at first, so he is panicked with that. And I don't know. And a lot of people were killed and some crazy. Like, not just with gun killed. There was some other stuff going on because it was just total chaos. Mm-hmm. I was really shocked by that. All right. So. Back that takes place in a different town than where the Daughtry house is. So when you're back at the plantation, Joelle, you know, it says on the cover how she's teaching part of the wages that the men and women who used to be slaves on their plantation, but are now employees there. Part of the wages was teaching them how to read and write, which she's always wanted to teach them. Even when she was a kid, she tried to, and that didn't end well for her. This is something about those three girls that I was really proud of. Like, they stood up and even took punishment for it when they were kids.
Yeah. But they knew right and wrong.
Yeah. So there's a Reverend Boykin in the, cause they're not, they have still have segregation. So this would be over in the area town where all of the ex-slaves live. And they have a church there, And he reminds Joel of Psalm 94, where men reap what they sow. He says, but the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought them on their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. He has brought on them their own iniquity and he shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. I, especially now after talking to Beth about the culture in the South and living in the South and dealing with all of these residual issues and feelings, how did you react to that scripture? Did you have any thoughts when you read through that? Or
I think that reap what you sow has always kind of been in the back of my mind because that's just, you know, what grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, what you do unto others, what you'd want done to you, and what if you...
The golden rule.
Golden rule. Yeah. And yeah, goes in with the reap what you sow kind of thing.
And that is a message throughout the Bible. Mm-hmm. Reap what you sow. I thought I really liked Reverend Boykin. I thought he had a lot of wisdom and so much grace and forgiveness knowing what he went through before he even became a free man. So what did you think about the scene? I meant to ask Beth about this scene and I totally forgot to do that in our interview. But what did you think about that scene where God rescues Skylar while Joel is praying?
Oh,
what do you think of that?
That gave me goosebumps on that one last night. I read it last night.
Yeah.
That scene in particular. And I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. And just the whole, I'm trying not to give too much away, but the whole, I was grateful that he saved, but also with the other pastor, there's just so much.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about Gil. Gil is the other pastor in that community.
I liked Gil at the beginning. I did not like him at the end or even in the middle. Like, he made me so mad and I did not understand what he was thinking, what he was doing.
No, he said so many things about like...
Unless he... Skylar said or asked him like thing towards the end of the book. And, you know, it was basically he was... using it as a protection for other people, but I don't get it. I did not understand why he was involved.
So, yeah, he's involved in things that as a man of God, you should have never been involved in. And he did say, because influencers of the church threatened him and people in the congregation, maybe.
I feel like, yeah, they threatened that things would happen to people in the congregation, yes, I feel like, if he was not.
And that is where we talked about this in the last series, Jamie and I did, where we forget that how big our God is.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying, go ahead and threaten all you want, I trust that God will protect and not partake in it. I just felt he was such a weak person.
Yeah. And Joelle, and I feel like, she was too good for him.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like she really, in one point, it says that she knew the verse, you know, the Bible better than he did. She did. Like, she lived it. She breathed it. She acted on it every day. Whereas he was just a speaker on Sundays. I felt like I hadn't.
He was like a shell. I can't remember where it says. It says something in the Bible. I can't remember where. But basically to the effect of. It's like, woe you hypocrites who look whitewashed on the outside, but the inside is filthy, basically. Mm-hmm. And that is what he acts like he has a relationship with God and he doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear through his
actions
and some of his words, too, that you're a phony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really sad because you're supposed to be the shepherd.
Yeah, right? he's supposed to be the leader of the church. And oh, made me so mad.
Yeah.
And the way he talked to her sometimes. I guess that's just our generation, too, though. I mean, but I could not.
Yes, but he really. Okay. It's people like him that make the verses in the Bible that people just always fight over is the wives, you are to submit to your husbands. Okay. They don't read it the full thing. They just take that little snippet. And turn it into something that's so terrible. But there is also, I want to say it's in 2 Peter, there's a verse that says, husbands, basically, I'm not going to quote it word for word. I know I'm not. If you do not treat your wives well, basically, and it also says, husbands, you are to treat your wives in the same way you would treat your own body. Like you are,
Respect.
They are to take care of us. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, you block God's, it says something like you block God's blessings in your prayers to God or something like that. There is some, I should look it up. It's something like that in 2 Peter. And I'm like, God is very, very clear that it's not a, but Gil takes it as, he takes that little verse and like, well, when you're my wife, you will do this and you will do this.
And you won't do this.
And you won't do this. Yes. And you shouldn't even talk about it. You're a woman. You don't even know what you're talking about type stuff. That is not at all how those scriptures, if you read it in its entirety, you realize that is not at all how that's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. It goes back to what we talked about. It's so easy to submit to your husband when you fully trust him. And you know that he's going to do what's best for you because he always does what's best for you. Even when I don't fully agree with Derek, I'm like, this probably is what's best. So I'll do it. I have had times, I'm not going to lie. There are times when I'm in like, Lord, I would wish you would just smack him upside the head and and make him realize that what I want to do is what needs to be done. Inevitably.
And then
what he chose is what's the right thing to begin with. So I'm like,
I agree.
You know,
really, I know. Hans is a thinker. So like he just, I'm more of like, let's do it. Let's get it done. And like, he's a ponder. He ponders and weighs out the pros and the cons. And he's very patient, obviously with me, but also everything. But he's got to be think it through. Whereas I'm like, I know it's what we got to do. Let's go.
Yeah,
he's like, well, we need to think about it and sleep on it tonight. And like, let's wait. And then I'll be like a week later. Are we ready to make a decision? No. It's just a process. It's a process.
It is a process.
But I trust the process sometimes.
Yes, but sometimes
it's
like,
very hard.
Just do it. Like, this.
Yeah. These like, happen. What do we wait on here? Growing old.
I know. And I just was kind of, okay. So obviously, this whole thing between Joelle and Gil
is a
fully
sham.
Falls apart, right? Yeah. Did you expect it to fall apart sooner?
I did, actually.
And did you expect it to fall apart the way it fell apart?
No, I feel like that was just an excuse Gil used. I think he knew, but he was just looking for an excuse. And that was the excuse.
But he brought like two women with him to attack her.
I didn't understand that.
She's your fiance. Right there would have been, that's when it all goes down. But that would have been definitely, if she would have stuck with him after that, I would have been like, Joelle, you deserve it. You're an idiot. Because honestly, that was just proof right there that he wasn't going to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to feed you to the wolves whenever it suited him.
Yeah.
Well, who wants a husband like that?
I did not understand that whole situation either. Like, why?
Why did he do that?
Why he brought them.
But I love how she dumps them. Oh. I do love that. I'm like, you go, girl.
Yeah. Using those big words.
That he's like, I can't even keep up with you. I do love. Okay, so then let's just talk about Skylar a little bit, and did you enjoy how he changed and grew during the story?
I did. I think it took a lot for him to change, but sometimes you need those big events to happen like that to understand, open your eyes. But I was super proud of him. Yeah. I don't understand why he kept getting himself entangled in more stuff yet, but you know.
Oh, kind of like his kind of undercover.
Yeah, I don't understand. I get you want to find out justice for his father, but I don't understand why he put himself in those predicaments. But I just was trusting the process and I was really worried for him at some points. But I do love how he grew.
Mm-hmm. He. Okay, so. You're right. It was big events. So the first big event, he loses his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what puts him into, I'm going to seek justice for, I want to find out who
I think too, he also realized, you know, he lost his dad, but he was like, well, what was I doing in the moment?
Yes.
And that was where I think he had that epiphany or whatever.
And like, looking at,
look at my life, what my dad was doing, what was I doing?
Yeah. What I was doing was not contributing to anything.
Yeah.
But dad was always contributing. His brother was always contributing. Mm. Yeah. That was an eye opener for him. So I think that's what also made him dive in and say, I'm going to continue dad's legacy. So it kind of put him in the race, but then to do that and be able to basically go undercover to find out who are the ringleaders of this, of the Ku Klux Klan, and find out who murdered his dad, he had to pretend to be one of them, which then put him in another situation that was so extreme. I'm like you, I had goosebumps and I struggled to even read it. I'm like, I do not handle torture. Anyone being tortured, I just don't handle it well. And I even if I read it, I end up with nightmares, but I definitely can't see it on TV. That's, it's just so, I just don't understand how another human could be so cruel to another human and cause such pain.
Yeah.
It just does not.
I don't get the whole hazing or, you know, to be in a club and do all that. I'm like, what?
Oh, my word.
Well, why would you want to associate with that? If that's what they're going to do to you, what are they going to do to other people? Like,
right. And you're supposed to be one of them.
Yeah.
But I knew why he was doing it. He was doing it to be undercover. So I got his motives, but it just,
He was undercover, but everybody knew he was undercover is the part I was struggling with too. Like everybody,
even in the group, you think they knew?
I don't know about the group, but like everybody at the plantation. So I don't understand. Like,
not every, did they tell everyone that he was, he didn't tell Joelle
at the beginning
until later, didn't he?
Maybe I'm reading into the next book a little more.
Yeah, by the third book, everybody
knows
he's trying to work undercover to ferret out who's the ringleader.
Maybe that's where I'm getting.
It might be. Yeah, because she didn't know at first. She didn't understand his actions as well, because she's the one that God woke her up and told her she needed to pray. And that's when he got rescued. That was a really cool scene. Really liked that. And okay, so then kind of circling back, so bringing Skylar, who's always been this like fun party boy, but he's starting to settle in, but he still keeps his humor and his light side. It's not like he fully gives it up. So what did you think about their love story,
Joellen and
Skylar? Yeah,
I thought it was hilarious at some points, but yeah, super sweet at some points, you know. I loved how he was. I love the banter, but at some points I was just like, come on already, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, and then when she threw Gil into the whole thing, it frustrated me, but.
Yeah. I love the conversations that he had with her grandmother, too. Thought those were really.
I love that they could be themselves with each other.
Yes. Because they've known each other their whole lives.
Yeah.
And I thought the scene where he thought she was drowning.
It was funny. Was hilarious. That was funny.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And then when her grandma's like, oh, yeah, he doesn't love you because, you know, he went in thinking you were drowning, knowing you know how to swim. You're like a fish. Pretty much is what she said.
Yeah.
He's like, he knew you weren't drowning. He just saw you in your bathing suit. So anyways, I thought it was a super sweet. It was a childhood romance.
Yeah. Full circle. Yeah.
Even though she was like at the beginning, don't you ever tell anyone about this.
Right.
Or I will kill you. Oh, yeah. Because her line in there reminded me of, have you ever watched Tommy Boy?
Yeah.
And you remember when they're out on the, in the like boat and it's not moving and those kids are yelling. He goes, oh, we just need a little wind. And they're like, no, you need to drop a couple hundred pounds, blimp. And his date was like, listen up, you spazzoids.
catches.
I know where you live, and I've seen where you sleep, and I swear on everything holy, your mothers will cry when they see what I've done to you. And then they like run away. That was totally what came to mind when I read that scene, when she was like, if you tell anyone about what just happened,
yeah,
I will kill you. Oh, that was funny. All right, so how would you rate the following elements of a rebel heart? The romance level.
I feel like there was more than the last time, but still.
I think so. I think I would go mocha.
Yeah, still not as much.
I think she's really good about writing the thinking, like the wants in the head, but keeping them from acting on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd go mocha too.
How about suspense?
Oh, mocha. I feel like there's quite a bit of suspense in here.
There is. And there are certain scenes that are very suspenseful. Mm-hmm. What about the action?
A lot of action. I'd go a latte on the action.
I'd go a latte there too. How about mystery?
There's mocha latte, mm-hmm. mocha latte.
I would agree. It's probably somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a lot of unknown still, I feel like.
There's a...
Getting certain situations, you're like still trying to figure out.
Yeah. There's a lot of... Well, it's like a continuation of the first, mm-hmm. but then they've added more events that make you go,
Yeah, what's really going on?
Right. And you don't get full answers till the end.
So, of the third
book. Yeah. What about the drama level?
A lot of drama.
There is a lot of
drama.
Drama.
The good soap opera.
It is. I would agree. How about inspirational level?
I go mocha.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. So then what is your overall lasso rating of A Rebel Heart by Beth White?
I'm going to go 3 lasso.
You went 3?
Yeah.
I liked this one better. So I'd give it better than the first. So I would give it a 3 as well. The third one, I know you're not all the way through it quite yet. We'll talk about it a little bit next week. But it wraps everything up. And I found it interesting how she chose to wrap it up, too. I'm curious what our listeners will think.
Read it and see. So.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at www.literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.